to see you as the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. When I was younger in elementary school and I was having a bad day, I lost my favorite toy, my dog didn't like me, my friends didn't like me, my parents barely remembered my name or whatever. When I was having a terrible day, I would come crying to my mom and she would say, "Edward, count your blessings." And I'm like, "Okay." She said, "Look at me. You have a roof over your head. You have food to eat. You have a warm place to sleep. You have a family who basically loves you. And count your blessings. Why are you always focused on those things that you don't have?" And it made sense. You know, count your blessings. I hear Bing Crosby in the background for Holiday Inn. I think it's for Thanksgiving, I think. Count your blessings. Be thankful for what you have, because there are a lot of people who don't have what you have. One of the things that infuriated the people of the nation of Israel when Jesus was teaching was the way he taught and what he taught. As an English teacher, I'm really involved with drama. I used to teach eighth grade. I know drama. But it's the placement and the setting that is important. And many of us probably kind of overlooked the first couple of sentences in today's gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. Mountains are important because if God is up here, mountains are a way to bring us closer to God. It's on the mountain that Moses receives the Ten Commandments. It's on the mountain that Jacob hears the voice of God. It is on the mountain that Jesus is transfigured. So Jesus climbed up the mountain. He is bringing God to us. And he sat down. Important. Because in this time, teachers, sages, philosophers, when they were to impart wisdom, would sit down. And the disciples literally sat at his feet to receive instruction and to listen to the voice of wisdom that is coming directly from the mouth of God. So this is important. This is a transfigurative and extremely potent time for Jesus' teaching and also for our hearing. What does he teach? What does he say? "Blessed are the poor, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be the children of God. Blessed are those who are reviled because you proclaim my name. Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are you who are going through tough times and who may not think that God cares for you or loves you anymore. Blessed are you who may have done things that would separate you from the love of God, because God will never forget. Blessed are you in your tribulation, in your time of trial. Blessed are you in the time of mourning, in the time of deprivation. Blessed are you always and forever." Now, we have heard this story since we were children, the Beatitudes. I had to memorize it for catechism. Think about how countercultural this teaching is, how much different Jesus' teaching is against the teachings of the world. When we are taught that it's more blessed to have than to give, when it's more blessed to be happy than to be sad. When God smiles on you, then you will receive all of the riches of this world and you will be happy and content. Jesus says, that's not true. Blessing comes from suffering. And suffering comes from following God. Micah today brings forth a case against the people of the nation of Israel. What have I done to you that you do not follow me anymore? What have I done that you do not love me as your God anymore? Tell me, bring evidence. Jesus' teaching turns the world upside down. And it's done with the authority and the power not only of a teacher and a prophet, but of the person who is the Son and the mouth of God. Blessings are those things that we think separate us from the love of God, when indeed they do not. Blessings are those things that separate us from the lies of the world, which separate us from the love of God. The blessings of the world are those things that we should not count as very valuable. The blessings of the world are the way to lead us off the path. The blessings of God lead us into those places where we are fearful, where we are sometimes, you know, at a loss as where to go next. The blessings of the world teach us to not do what is right, to not do what is just, but to follow our own wills, whims, and desires. The blessings of the world, Jesus is saying today, are a lie. An old movie, and I'm ashamed to call it an old movie, from 1985, I think, 1984. I know. It's terrible. Meryl Streep, out of Africa. And she is this beleaguered person who is trying to make a life for herself, despite, you know, all of the lies and everything else that have been told to her by all the people that she has met, including Robert Redford, which I am deeply disturbed about, but... She has worked and sweated and made sacrifices and to build this farm, to do this thing, to make this life so that she can have comfort and material security. Her Maasai manservant, whenever things go wrong, when her husband finally leaves her, what does he say? God is good. When things go wrong, when the crop fails, and she comes to him and she says, what happened? And he says, God is good, Sabu. When finally her entire plantation is burned to the ground and everything that she has worked for, when she is up to debt and, you know, this has to be the right thing to do, and everything catches on fire, what does he say? God is here, Sabu. The destruction of those things that are leading you down the wrong path are here. And it's a way to make you understand where you are in the scheme of things. We are not here for our own power. We are not here for our own self-aggrandizement. We are not here for our own importance. We are here to do what Micah said, to love justice, to do mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, because that is why we were created and how we live and move and have our being. Jesus' teaching may be difficult and may be something that we may discount when we walk out these doors and look at the world. To have the pressures upon us to do those things which are expressly against what Jesus is teaching. My prayer for us is to have the strength and courage and will of our Savior so that we as Christians can do those things that Jesus taught, so that we can be his disciples, so that we can be the people who receive his teaching, and the blessings of this world be discounted, and the blessings of God, no matter how hard they are, will be embraced with a ferocity that will name us Christians. May we have the strength and courage to do those things this week and in the weeks to come, so that our blessings may be an offering to God. Amen.